Welcome back for the second hour of the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's not very often that you come across a study of this length in terms of time or this depth in terms of the number of people being surveyed, but you might have read about it in the Post-Dispatch today. Sex before marriage is U.S. norm, study says. And it's not just some small thing. The numbers are big. The report is big. And the story is big. We're going to talk about this new survey with Jennifer Roback-Moore. She's a research fellow at the Acton Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University. And she's author of the book Smart Sex, Finding Lifelong Love in a Hookup World. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Todd.
Jen, you look at these statistics and some might conclude, look, maybe we should just scrap the notion of abstinence before marriage and sex within the bonds of marriage. We have obviously lost on this issue. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you, I saw that story too. I saw three different news outlets had carried it, and then I went to that Guttmacher website looking for the study itself because, you know me, I have to see the numbers for myself in order to know what they're really saying. And I really am frankly quite disgusted that they don't even have it posted on their website yet. I mean, they have no business blasting the world with a research project of this size and then not having the numbers available for people to check out for themselves. So, you know, I consider it kind of a dirty trick. I'm actually quite disgusted with them. But why are they talking about this and why are they talking about it right now? I think it's pretty clear what's going on. First of all, just briefly, what the numbers are showing is that they have been surveying people, even people who would have come of age in the 40s or 50s, are reporting that they had sex prior to marriage. And so, therefore, they're concluding since everybody has sex prior to marriage, even in the old days people were having sex prior to marriage, we might as well give in and give people access to more and more contraceptive information, and we should give up the idea of teaching abstinence or anything about abstinence. Couple things about this. First of all, what they fail to mention is that the period of time during which people are having sex outside of marriage has changed over the years. They simply, this story of theirs simply won't fly the way they're telling it.
Okay, so exactly, apart from having been able, no one, since the study actually has not been published for us to read, going with what has been reported, what exactly about the report and the way it's being reported makes you somewhat skeptical? Not so much of the numbers, but of the motivations behind the report and the way it's...
Well, I'll tell you, here's what bothers me about it. I mean, the fact is, if you have sex outside, before you get married, this is the operative term, having sex before you get married, okay? If you get married at 30 and you get married at 20, you're talking about two very different kinds of things, you know? And so what has happened is because of the whole revolution in contraception and contraception acceptability and availability, a lot of things have happened, okay? And one of them that has happened is the age at first marriage has been postponed. Now, in some respects, That's not all a bad thing, of course. You know, there are many good things about, you know, you don't want everybody getting married at 16 or something, of course. But we've pushed it back until almost 30 for some people. If the college-educated people are getting married much later than they used to. And so what that means is that you have a long period of time before marriage where people are sexually active. And as you and I have talked about in the past, Todd, what this means is that people are having more sexual partners. They're putting themselves at greater risk for all the kind of obvious hazards that are associated with that, including STDs and unwanted pregnancy and all of the rest of it. But they're also practicing a way of being sexual that is not going to serve them well when they finally do enter into marriage. And so this set of numbers that is being promoted here is really glossing over all of those factors which are there. And the other thing that of course they're not mentioning is that in the old days, if people were having sex prior to marriage, if the girl got pregnant, the guy would marry her, and that would be the beginning of their life together. That would not be the end of their relationship where he takes her down to get an abortion and she then moves on to another relationship. That would be the beginning of a life together. And that whole way of managing sexuality, which has many problems associated with it, for sure, that's not the best way to do things. But to compare that situation where premarital sex so often actually led to marriage, with the current situation where premarital sex simply leads to another premarital sexual relationship, one after the other, serial kinds of relationships, which is so common today, these are really not comparable situations at all. And so to throw those numbers out and say, well, it's always been that 95% of the people had sex before marriage, you know, that just doesn't tell you anything important or interesting that you really want to know.
We're talking with Jennifer Roback Morris about the new survey on sex before marriage. It appears as a story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Sex Before Marriage is U.S. Norm, Study Says. Marilyn writes this. I want your thoughts here, Jennifer. Marilyn writes in St. Louis, I would like to see this question asked. Do you regret having sex before marriage? I can't speak for men, but many women I talk to wish they had waited for marriage. That's one of the things the survey does not address.
That's an excellent question. God bless Marilyn for asking that question. That's an excellent question. And, of course, you do see these reports of women regretting their premarital relationships or even regretting particular relationships. And you hear women saying that they wish they had waited longer to become sexually active and so forth. So there's just a whole lot more going on in this story than is being reported. But I think one thing I think your listeners should be aware of that I think is behind this thing, that Guttmacher Institute, as I hope everybody knows, that the Guttmacher Institute is the research arm of Planned Parenthood. That's what they are. And that's not a secret. I'm not, like, revealing some conspiracy here. That's just a fact that they are. And one of the things that's going to be up for grabs in the new democratically controlled Congress is how the Congress is going to spend the monies that have been allocated for population issues and family issues. And right now, perhaps you remember there was a controversy over the man that Bush appointed to head up the Office of Population Affairs, I think is what it was called. The man he appointed is an advocate of abstinence and has been on the board of an organization that promotes abstinence and does not give contraception and all the rest of it. You know, like as many crisis pregnancy centers take that kind of position and try to steer their clients away from the sexually active lifestyle and more towards the abstinence lifestyle. Well, so the Planned Parenthood-type critics, of course, went ballistic over that. And what I think is happening is that in January you're going to see a lot of fighting over how much money these offices get and how it's going to be spent. Right now, that office controls funding for family planning, meaning contraception, and also controls funding for abstinence programs. And I'll bet you that the Democrats are going to be attacking the abstinence programs, the funding for the abstinence programs. I think this is a setup to get people in the media and people in the public softened up so that when they go after those programs in January, which you can bet they will do, that everybody will say, oh, yeah, this is really stupid for the federal government to promote abstinence. You know, actually, it's not stupid at all because there's a whole ideology that's being promoted around contraception, and that's being promoted with federal funds, and it's being promoted at something like 10 times the level of funding that abstinence is being promoted with. So it's really, there's nothing fair about it. What the Planned Parenthood type people want is absolutely all the money going to their particular ideology about sex. And I think people just need to be ready for the fact that there's going to be a very screaming battle over that come the new Congress.
Let's talk a little bit here about the is ought factor, because I think one of the more subtle thrusts of a report like this and the way it's being reported is, look, this is normal, not just a norm, not just a statistical norm, but normal in the sense that most people think of normal, and that is normal equals A-OK. Laying aside moral, even moral concerns, what are the consequences of more sex before marriage if the numbers are to be believed?
Well, I'm not quite sure what you're asking me with that. I mean, one of the things that we know without any shadow of a doubt is that since the sexual revolution has been initiated in, you know, in the 60s and 70s, there are many more new sexually transmitted diseases in the world today than there were in the 1950s. When the sexual revolution first kicked off, basically the time was absolutely the most auspicious possible for it, because there was no AIDS. Nobody had ever heard of AIDS. The birth control pill had become available, and so therefore it looked as if it was possible to be sexually active without consequences. And there were only two STDs for all practical purposes, which were gonorrhea and syphilis, and they were both controllable with penicillin, which prior to penicillin, those were both deadly, dreadful, horrible diseases. Well, between penicillin and the pill, the real obvious physical hazards of non-marital sex just sort of all went away. And when all of that all went away, people's the moral code around sex didn't seem to be as useful, didn't seem to be as important. Well, as a result of that, so people start having more sex and more sex outside of marriage and more sex with multiple partners. And that's really the key thing. It's the multiple partners that is, I think, the source of the most concern, because that activity itself has generated the diseases. It's just created a whole favorable environment, physical environment, for new kinds of organisms that are sexually transmitted to develop and to be passed on and so forth. And so that's why we have now some 40 STDs out there, which were unheard of 50 years ago. So it's really, truly not a healthy thing for the human body to be having multiple sex partners. And I think that's just a fact. I think that's an epidemiological fact, and it's not that hard to understand why that is and how that whole process works.
Well, to stick with that subject for just a second, we're talking, just to focus on one of the aspects of the study, where it says by age 20, of those who responded to the survey, 77% had had sex and 75% had had premarital sex. We're talking about people, if we're talking about people under 20, who may not have a very well-formed sense of responsibility, of concern for their sexual partner, passing on these diseases might be,
right,
they'll maybe number 3 or 4 or 5 on their list of priorities on a Friday night.
Well, and let's be honest, young people are impulsive. You know, even if they have every concern in the world and all good intentions in the world, young people have a tendency to be impulsive. But one thing that we do know, I came across some very interesting studies since we last talked, Todd, and that is some professors have been studying the relationship between parental involvement laws for abortion and the spread of STDs. And one of the thing, and their idea was, well, now look, if parents have to be involved in a decision to abort, you have to either inform them or get consent. The laws vary across the state. And they said, well, look, if your parents have to be involved, that's a cost of premarital sex. It's maybe a cost several times removed, but it is a kind of cost. You might know of other kids in your situation who have had to tell their parents, and, you know, so it might filter into your consciousness that there's a possibility of a cost. And so what these fellows did was to see if there was any correlation between the infection rate, the new infection rate of sexually transmitted diseases, and, in fact, the requirement that parents be involved in decisions to abortion. And lo and behold, even impulsive teenagers were able to internalize some of the probable costs of pregnancy, which is to say that there were fewer STDs in states that had that enacted parental notification legislation. So kids will respond to incentives, even though we know that kids have a tendency to be impulsive and all of that. They do respond in some ways to the prospect of adult disapproval of their behavior. And that, I think, is part of what's at stake here. What Planned Parenthood, I think, seems to want is that there should be no adult disapproval, that it should be thought as sexual activity in all times and situations should be thought of as something so natural and so inevitable that we basically don't impose social sanctions on it and say, you know, you really shouldn't be doing this. You really should stop what you're doing, or you really should stop and think before you do what you're doing. That seems to be the message. I mean, to simply say that marriage is the proper context for sexual activity, that is the thing that is almost impossible to say that that's what we aspire to. Even if we fail, that's what we aspire to, and that's what you should aspire to too. That will make you happy. That will be good for you. If you can at least have this as your goal and your aspiration of your life, you're going to have a better life than if you blow it off and say, well, I'm entitled to do whatever I feel like.
So then, with only 30 seconds, the real issue in the crosshairs here is the link between healthy sex and marriage as an institution.
Absolutely. See, smart sex As I say in my book, Smart Sex, Finding Lifelong Love in a Hookup World, smart sex is married sex. That's the proper, best context for having a good sex life. What that study doesn't tell you is that married couples have the most satisfying sex life. They have more frequent sex than other demographic groups. And so all of these things taken together, if you look at the big picture, you're better off having your sex life inside your marriage rather than allowing it to spill over into much more random kinds of relationships.
Jennifer-Roback-Morse.com is our guest's website. She's got some great resources there. I encourage you to visit Jennifer-Roback-Morse.com. Jennifer Roback Morse is a research fellow at the Acton Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University. And her book is called Smart Sex, Finding Lifelong Love in a Hookup World. Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Er sagt, ich zitiere, zeig mir doch, was Mohammed Neues gebracht hat.
He said, and I quote, show me just what Muhammad brought that was new, and there you will find things only evil and inhuman, such as his command to spread by the sword the faith that he preached.
We only want that he should be dismissed at once.
The fact is, I am guilty of sexual immorality, and I take responsibility for the entire problem.
I am awed and honored and humbled to have been elected by my sister and brother bishops in the Episcopal Church.
You asked what would be worth killing for. Witness the biggest cover-up in human history.
Well, it didn't take too long to put that together. That's Topps Religion Story 1, 2, 4, 3, and 8 in that order, if I'm not mistaken. And the Religion Writers Association has put together their top 10 religion stories. We'll talk a little bit about that off and on here through the next hour of Issues, Etc., through the end of the program. As we begin, audio open lines for your questions and your comments, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. The top 10 religion stories of 2006 are out, and there's some surprises. There's actually even a list, and this is the first time I've noticed they've done this. They made a list of another 10 that didn't make the cut for the top 10. We'll go through the list very quickly, and then if there's one in here that you think, come on, that doesn't belong, or one in here, one that's not in here that should be in here, I want to hear from you. 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. A little later in Audio Open Lines, we'll hear an ABC News report on Christianity in Iraq and also a CNN poll on the 2008 presidential race. What they do is they just take a candidate from one party and a candidate from the other, and they put them head-to-head in a poll and say, how would it come out? And sometimes the numbers for an individual candidate change depending on who they're supposedly going to be running against. Now, again, we're 2 years out from that election, a little bit less than 2 years. But apparently the primaries, if I'm not mistaken, start in just about 1 year, the first primary. So in that sense, I guess we're only a year out from the race itself and from people starting to think about it. We'll hear that a little bit later. It's Audio Open Lines, and we're coming to you live this Wednesday, the 20th of December. Well, the top news story, religion news story, according to the Religious News Association, is the Muhammad cartoons. Now, that surprises me. I'll be honest with you. That surprises me that it's number one, only because very shortly after that, there was one that was almost as big, which made number two, and that was the Pope making comments about Islam. It's not so much the cartoons of Muhammad that made it the number one story, but the almost worldwide Muslim reaction that made it the top religion story of 2006, given the fact that scores of Christians and Muslims were killed in riots that followed, in particularly Nigeria. That's a news story. So that's one and two, the Mohammed cartoons and their reaction. Pope Benedict making Muslims angry yet again in the space of about 2 months is number two. The Episcopal Church electing Catherine Jeffords Shorey to be their presiding bishop, not so much because she's the first woman, but because she supports the consecration of the first openly gay bishop. That's number three. Number four in the top 10 religion stories of the year, Ted Haggard's resignation from the presidency of the National Association of Evangelicals. That wouldn't have been a big deal except for the reason that he resigned. Of course, he was accused of engaging in gay sex and the use of meth with a gay prostitute. That's number four. Number five, right down in the middle of the list, the candidates who were supported by the religious right and their stunning losses in the November elections this year. Number six, the conflicts between Sunni and Shiite Muslims heating up in the Middle East and in Iraq in particular. That's number six in the top 10 religion stories of 2006. And then number seven, this was a darker story. Well, they're all a little bit dark, but see, none of these are really good news, are they? No, none of these are good news. That's not the way it works. The shooting deaths of five Amish girls, and in this case, the silver lining is, and the story is, that the Amish community comes together in forgiveness for the killer of those five Amish girls. That's number seven. Number eight, the release of the Da Vinci Code film and the fervor that it sparks among religious conservatives. Number nine, now here we're getting in a little bit more on the periphery, I think, of particularly religious issues, because you don't have to be religious to be against something like same-sex marriage, although it's considered a religious issue. Same-sex marriage gets banned in seven of the eight states that hold referenda in November, and Arizona becomes the first to turn down a same-sex marriage ban. And then number 10, President Bush's veto of a bill. I'm sorry, yeah, his veto to defeat a bill calling for the expansion of stem cell research. That's number 10. That's the list. What do you think of it? Is there something that's missing, in your opinion? It's the Religion News Writer's top 10 religion stories of 2006. What would be yours? What would be your number one? Or would you agree with them that it's probably the Mohammed cartoons and the Muslim reaction worldwide? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. this Wednesday, the 20th of December. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, listeners with the best questions or comments will receive the Issues, Etc. book of the month for December, in the last few days of December. It's called From Heaven Above. Is there a story here, in your opinion, that's missing? When I read through that list, did you say, wait a minute, you didn't mention blank? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Your phone calls, your emails after this break. Now, I like the fact that they did make a list of the missing cuts, the things that didn't make the cut. Some of them I didn't even hear about, and I watch religion news pretty carefully. And some of them, you might say, hey, that's a pretty big story. Like the religious genocide in Darfur? Now, that might not be your most interesting story there, but that's a big news story. We'll talk more about this top 10 list of religion stories for 2006 during Audio Open Lines when we come back from this break, and we'll have some more audio for you.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This popular Christmas hymn is the theme of our Issues, Etc. book of the month for December. It's titled From Heaven Above. It's a picture book for children ages 6 through 9. You can find out more about From Heaven Above on our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. From Heaven Above costs $14.99 plus shipping and handling. issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040. This children's book uses the text of traditional hymns and classical style illustrations to depict the events of that first Christmas night. From Heaven Above, A Christmas Carol by Martin Luther, our Issues, Etc. book of the month for December, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. This Christmas, teach your young child or grandchild about the fulfillment of God's promise to send His people a Savior from heaven above.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. How far will scientists go to keep the theory of intelligent design from seeing the light of day? We may be finding out. For the past 2 years, a Smithsonian scientist has been harassed by museum officials for publishing an article supporting ID. Not even a proponent of the theory, Dr. Richard Sternberg was demoted, and now his reputation smeared. Kim Troby has the story.
As managing editor of a biology journal, Dr. Sternberg published an article by Dr. Stephen Meyer supporting intelligent design. Sternberg's colleagues didn't like it.
What I should have done, according to my detractors inside and out of the museum, is I should have paid attention to who the author was, what he stands for, realized that he was a Christian, and place the article in the waste paper basket.
Over the past year, a House subcommittee has been investigating the subsequent harassment of Sternberg by Smithsonian officials. John West with the Discovery Institute says the Smithsonian acted inappropriately.
They have tried to question his religion, his political views, tried to make him really feel so uncomfortable that he would resign because they knew that legally they couldn't fire him.
The committee report confirms scientists at the museum used work time and computers to defame Sternberg, even asking a private group to spy on him.
I think taxpayers and concerned citizens should be really concerned that government officials being paid for by tax dollars on their government time are trying to really attack the free speech rights of scientists who disagree with Darwinism.
Sternberg says his reputation is ruined and is considering a lawsuit. For Family News in Focus, I'm Kim Troby.
A Smithsonian spokesperson said they have no interest in revisiting the issue. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Phyllis Wallace here. Join me on the Woman to Woman Christmas special along with actor Bruce Marciano, who played the role of Jesus in a movie production. Hear how Jesus dramatically transformed his life and how he can dramatically transform yours as well. It could make a big difference in your Christmas celebration and in your life. Hope to see you then, Woman to Woman.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Martin Luther is the author of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. It's titled From Heaven Above. It's the perfect Christmas gift for your young child or grandchild. From Heaven Above is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about this new children's book at issuesetc.org. From Heaven Above by Martin Luther, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, going through the top 10 religion stories for 2006 here during Audio Open Lines, and I want to hear what your top 10 religion story is. Here's the list again real quick. Number one, the Mohammed cartoons. You remember those. Number two, Pope Benedict making Muslims angry with his comments. Number three, the Episcopal Church USA electing Catherine Jefferts Schori as its first presiding bishop in support of gay ordination. Number four, Ted Haggard's resignation from the presidency of the National Association of Evangelicals. Number five, the stunning defeats of candidates being supported by the religious right in the fall elections. Number six, the conflicts between Sunni and Shiite Muslims in Iraq and in the Middle East. Number seven, the schoolhouse shootings of the five Amish girls in Bart Township, Pennsylvania. Number eight, the release of the Da Vinci Code film. Number nine, the success of same-sex marriage bans in seven of the eight states where it was tried during the November elections. And number 10, President Bush's first veto to defeat a bill that would have expanded stem cell research. Those are the 10 from religion writers. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Tomorrow on the program, we'll continue our weekly series with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on teaching a Sunday school lesson. Tomorrow, as one might suspect, the birth of Christ. will be the subject as we continue that series. We're also going to do a study of a new Christ hymn. It's called O Sing of Christ. The hymn's author will be our guest, Pastor Stephen Starkey, and we'll also be discussing St. Paul and slavery. Was Paul pro or con slavery? It's hard to tell. Dr. John Nordling will join us tomorrow on Issues, Etc. My voice will hold out for the next hour. I'm being very easy with it. I'm just kind of riding the wave rather than I'm surfing rather than using a motorboat. That's my analogy for how you deal with a voice that's on the hairy edge. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Any surprises in here that you don't think should be there? Or just let's just deal with the order having to do with number one. Do you think the number one religion story of 2006 should be the Mohammed cartoons and the reaction by Muslims worldwide? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Tony's calling from his car. Hi, Tony.
Hello. I think the number one should be the persecution of Christians in Darfur, but I think that the two Muslim issues with the cartoons and the Pope ought to be probably two and three. I was surprised, though, given the source that the Mel Gibson story didn't make it anywhere in there. And also, if I remember correctly, wasn't the FBI's apprehension of Warren Jeffs this year and the exposure of some of the polygamous subculture in the West, I thought those would probably be in there, too.
You know, I thought so, too. In fact, Charlie, during the break, said, what about that polygamist? He's been in the news, Warren Jeffs, all over the place. He's number 19. So he's on the list that didn't make the cut, the 10 that didn't make the cut. He's number 19. The Mel Gibson story, another shocker, because that was big news, and it was a religious story. He's being accused of anti-Semitism. Didn't even make the 20. So it was nowhere to be found. Tony, thank you very much. What about the rest of you? IssuesETC@kfuo.org is our email address. And our call-in number is 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. So Tony says, where's Mel Gibson and his alleged anti-Semitic rant in all of this? Of course, it's not just every week, it's every day. We hear about another celebrity getting pulled over for DUI, getting arrested, going off to rehab. So that aspect of the story is so common. The only thing that made it a real story was the fact that it was Mel Gibson who'd made The Passion of the Christ, and that he said some anti-Semitic things to the cop. Do you think it deserved a place on the list? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What was your top religion story of 2006? Do you agree or disagree with the list as it is assembled, and as I read it to you before? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us here in the studio. We get your email right here in real time and can respond. IssuesETC@kfuo.org. Here are some of the things that didn't make the list. It starts with 11, since 10 was the top 10. This is interesting. The group of evangelicals who called for more attention to global warming didn't make the list. It made 11, though. The genocide in Darfur made number 12. Samuel Alito, who's a Roman Catholic, by the way, confirmed as a justice in the U.S. Supreme Court, 13. Other Hollywood Jesus films made 14, like The Nativity Story. Of course, that came very late. Book of Daniel, One Night with the King. I've only heard of one of those. Number 15 was the Roman Catholic Diocese and the ongoing payouts that they're making nationwide to the victims of priestly sexual abuse. Number 16, this one probably should have made the list, in my opinion, the 100th anniversary of Pentecostalism. Arguably the most influential movement in American Christianity, celebrating 100 years. So that's all the older Pentecostalism is. It's only 100 years old. It's not 2,000 years old. It's 100 years old. But it is the most influential. Without 100 years of Azusa, you would walk in today into your average Lutheran church, and they'd still be worshiping like Lutherans. Without Azusa.
Yeah, that's why I don't think it's that big a story, Todd, because Pentecostalism has influenced all the professional churches in America.
You know what Pentecostalism has done? It has rendered the church growth movement obsolete. The church growth movement got swallowed by Pentecostalism. And everything that all the goals of the church growth movement, since it was indistinguishable from Pentecostalism, just got swept up. I think it should have made the list. But that was 16, didn't make the list. Number 17, Southern Baptists electing their first dark horse president, someone that wasn't expected to be elected. Number 18, the Food and Drug Administration approving Plan B. That's not necessarily a religious story, though. And then, let's see, Warren Jeffs and his polygamy, statutory rape, you name it, he was up to all of it out there in Utah. Number 19, number 20, the election of conservative Christian Stephen Harper as the Prime Minister of Canada. And I just have to say, I know that Tom Baker precedes this, but, and I say this with all the love I can muster for our northern neighbors, come on, it's Canada. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issues, etc@kfuo.org. Joe's up next. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Todd. I'm shocked that the purpose of Christmas didn't make the list. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Rick Warren, in kind of a Willy Wonka-esque situation, has decided that they're going to put on TV for the first time the worship services from Saddleback, and then all those churches that participated in the 40 Days of Purpose will be able to have people contact them after watching the purpose of Christmas. I'm surprised that didn't make the list.
Well, you know, it does come a little late, given that this thing's going to air in the last week of the year.
Where's the buzz? I mean, you would think something this important, the man who's going to cure AIDS and fix all of the world's problems, is going to have a Christmas show. We should be able to honor that.
I'm picturing the old, remember when Bing Crosby used to have the old Christmas program? Now that was a Christmas show. Bing Crosby with his hat, sitting around the fake tree with all of his children trying to look like they're not scared to death of them. Thank you, Joe. Singing White Christmas, Fake Snow Falling. I mean, that was a Christmas show. And please forgive me, but if Rick Warren can't match that, I am glad that he's finally consented to tell the rest of us what the purpose of Christmas is, because we were all confused. We really were. I mean, I've been wondering for 42 years what this Christmas stuff is all about. No one's been able to explain it to me. Thank goodness for Rick Warren. Phil's calling from his car. Hi, Phil.
Wasn't there a state that got rid of all the abortion centers?
You know, there's another. Thank you very much. It was South Dakota. They tried, but failed, to ban abortion in that state. The story is simply that they passed a law banning all abortions. The governor thought, I don't know what to do with this. They put it up for a referendum in the November elections, and it went down. That's, if you're going to put on same-sex marriage on the top 10 list, I think South Dakota being the first state in 34 years to try and deal with the total ban on abortion, that's a big story. And that happened right in the middle of the year. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. this Wednesday, December the 20th. We're taking your thoughts, your votes on the top 10 religion stories of 2006, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us right here in the studio, issues@kfuo.org. You're asking for vote totals. I do not know what you mean. What do you mean by vote totals?
What people have voted for so far.
Oh.
But I think two of
them. You mean the top
them,
story?
Yeah.
Well, I think they're more saying, where's it on the list? So far, we've got, we had a caller who said, where's Mel Gibson?
Right.
And the other one just said, where's the South Dakota ban on abortion?
Yeah, they agreed. Yeah, they agreed. The first caller did agree with the two Muslims, one and two.
Right. Well, the first caller said Darfur should be one, then Muslim cartoons and the Pope's faux pas on Islam.
Yeah, that's right. So we got one for Darfur. So we don't have anybody that's picked any from the top 10 list. And we have Rick Warren's Christmas. That wasn't in top 10.
That's right. Rick Warren's Christmas. Let me write it down. See, there we go. Rick Warren's Christmas. And someone thinks Warren Jeffs should make the list, too.
Right. You know, I don't expect Bing Crosby to explain the why of Christmas But I'm hoping Pastor Warren does.
Well, I'm just glad he is, because as I was saying when you weren't paying attention to the show that you produce, I was saying all of us for 2,000 years have been waiting with bated breath for someone to explain the purpose of Christmas. And finally, the fullness of time has come. And Rick Warren, who can explain the purpose of everything, will explain Christmas to
I have a very good reason why I wasn't paying attention.
Why is that?
I was checking online the statistics for last night's Edwardsville East St. Louis basketball game.
Now, there's a story.
Don't tell management I was doing
religious
that.
Religious or not, they wouldn't mind too much. They wouldn't mind too much. Worse things have been done on company time, I imagine. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, two people who didn't make it, I really think, I've always said this, a slot should always be reserved in the top 10 religion stories for the latest, or perhaps the greatest, foolish thing said by Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson didn't make the list this year, but I'm a firm advocate of reserving a slot in the top 10 religion stories for Pat Robertson and what he said last week, last month, regardless of what it is. Now, I think Ted Haggard probably bumped him. Otherwise, he might have made it. Because he's said a few things like, what was it, the assassination of Hugo Chavez? He called for that. Wasn't that this last year, 2006? I don't have that bad of a memory, do I? I think it was...
That might have been 2005.
It might have been late 2005. But he said other things, too, which could have been used. But I think Ted Haggard probably bumped him. Tim is calling from his car. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Well, I've got two. I agree with the previous caller about Warren Jeffs. I think with Warren Jeffs, that's the greatest thing that happened, you know, him being caught. And I think Ted Haggard would be the worst thing, you know, when you're in terms of a positive and a negative story.
Why Ted Haggard as a positive and negative? What do you mean?
Well, I mean that just to be that prominent of a pastor and evangelical, it just is a sad day when things like that happen, whereas opposed to catching Warren Jeffs is a good thing.
Yes. Okay. So similar kind of egregious sins, but in one case it is sad to see it happen. In the other case, boy, are you glad when Warren Jeffs gets pulled over on a routine traffic stop? At least nowadays, the most notorious polygamist out there. Josh in Milwaukee writes this: the Pope's visit to Turkey should have made the list. For the Pope to visit that nation under great personal risk, to visit the Hagia Sophia and the head of the Eastern Orthodox Church, was rather brave to go. I just wish he would have witnessed his perspective rather than just try to make amends for his speech, which inflamed many in the Islamic world. Yeah, I mean, good suggestion there. Thank you very much. What was it two? Yeah, the Pope angers Muslims. See, I think they're treating it as one story. Let me read the entire number two to you. Pope Benedict XVI angers Muslims by including in a speech a centuries-old quote linking Islam to violence. He apologizes and later smoothed the waters on a trip to Turkey. Earlier, he begins to downsize the Curia and emphasizes the love of God in his first encyclical. That's the big story of number two. Now, him meeting with the Patriarch of the Eastern Orthodox Church, now I know that doesn't make news because most people don't understand the gravity of that situation, but the Pope and the Patriarch of the Eastern Orthodox Church coming together for not one but two worship services, history. We may not record it in the newspaper, but 1,000 years from now, they will be talking about it in the history books. It's that significant of an event, especially if it actually would be the beginning of something leading to a healing of the great schism that took place 1,000 years ago.
You're looking at me while you're speaking. Are you expecting something from me?
I'm expecting...
Because I've got nothing. I've got nothing.
Really?
Nothing.
So you got a good night's sleep, and as I understand, a pretty much good morning sleep,
no,
too?
No, you weren't supposed to tell. My wife doesn't know this. Beth took... The two oldest are in school, so Beth took Jack, our newborn, and Katie, our 3.5-year-old, Christmas shopping. I didn't know this till this morning. And she said, I'm leaving at 9. And I said,
Whoopee.
It was quiet in the house.
Yeah.
I had to take a nap, so I took a half personal day. No, I had to.
I should say in your defense that you are pushing 43, and you've got a newborn in the house and little kids, and most people at your age, as I pointed out to you earlier today, most men your age are driving teenagers around, not waking up in the middle of the night with a newborn. So,
yeah.
So we might argue.
That makes me feel good. Thanks, Todd.
Yeah. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
We might argue, and but on the bright side, most men your age don't have a wife 15 years their or 8 10 years their junior either. So.
Oh, she'll appreciate that 15 years. That yeah. That 15,
I just make
you
it
know
up.
Why you know why by the way? Cuz I'm, you know, men are more immature, so I believe they should marry women younger than them. What do you think of that thesis? I bet I'm not going to do this, but we could open up the phone lines and get lots of calls on that, but don't you dare do it.
All right, I won't.
Don't
do
go
that.
Christmas tree on me.
I won't do that. I've pulled rank one time to open up the phone lines on some harebrained idea that Jeff had. And I learned my lesson. I'm not going to do it again. We still get email from people saying fake or real on the Christmas tree. We still get it. I think I got one yesterday.
I got one the day after. Said they want us to do an open line on color or white lights.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Any theological argument behind that? No.
No, that's why we do use the term talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have to contrast it with something. If we're thinking all the time, then it makes it look like it's easy. So we got to do some of that kind of lowbrow stuff occasionally so that when we actually kick the brain into gear, then people are really wowed by the nature of this thinking radio program. Issues ETC at KFUO.org or 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Listening in St. Peter's, Jeff, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yeah, my comment is, how about the visit of Rick Warren to, I believe it's Syria?
Oh, yes.
And the apparent non-finding of anything wrong with persecution.
Thank you very much, Jeff, and thanks for waiting on the line there. Yeah, for those of you who may not have noticed, it did make news that Rick Warren of Saddleback fame and Purpose Driven fame made a very recent trip to several countries, including Syria, and when he was there, and he did say it because I have it on tape, he said, this is basically a pretty good country. It's a benevolent democratic regime or near democratic regime, doesn't tolerate any kind of extremism whatsoever. Didn't find much wrong. Now, the story, what made that news was not just that he made those comments, and again, I have those on tape, but when he came back and was challenged on what he said, he denied saying it and denied even having anything recorded until someone found the recording, and then he pretty much went mum. Except I got an email from somebody recently saying that he did at a Sunday service in a sermon respond to his critics on the issue of Syria. But I haven't heard that, so I don't know what it is about. We're talking about the top 10 religion stories of the year. Number one, the Muhammad cartoons and the reaction. You think it should be one? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Matt listens in Florida. Hi, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd. How is everybody?
Oh, everybody's doing fine. Yeah. I mean, I don't know about everybody, but everybody here is okay.
Everybody's doing great. Yeah. I'm listening to you guys on here, and I'm flipping through. They shouldn't have posted their top 10 or their top 100 yet. The end of the year's not over. Because I'm flipping through the news here on foxnews.com. This is what prompted me to call.
Okay.
This is the headline. Jesus Christ to be honorary king of Poland.
No kidding.
Warsaw, Poland. Lawmakers have drawn up a resolution naming Jesus Christ as honorary king of Poland, but have failed to win support of the country's powerful Roman Catholic Church.
The Roman Catholic Church won't support Jesus for king of Poland. Honorary king of Poland, I should say.
Yeah.
Well, that should at least be a runner-up, Matt. You're right. Maybe they jumped the gun. They made their list too early. I mean, that's the problem.
This is a crazy story.
How did we miss out on that story, Todd? How could we
you
miss
know,
that?
I'll tell you how
you
I
know
missed
what?
It.
Because I took a nap this morning.
That's right.
That's why.
You slept in. Matt, thank you very much for the call. Thanks for listening in Florida. I tell you how I missed it. Because I was looking up, I was trying to find some bump music, and I put in president, and I kept on coming across a link that said Jesus for President. There's somebody out there who's running Jesus for President. I think they do it every year. I don't know what Jesus thinks about it. I didn't know that he denounced, but and I think I was so distracted by Jesus for President, I didn't notice that he was up to be honorary king of Poland.
Hey, Todd, on the list of items that didn't make it, did they mention Cat Stevens coming out of retirement?
Cat Stevens coming out? Now, see, I don't know if that had made top 10. It might have squeaked in to top 20. But, yes, Cat Stevens.
Yusuf Islam.
Yes, Yusuf Islam, who is, boy, he's embraced his new faith, and he's come out of retirement and apparently out of exile. He was out of the country for some reason. I think it has more to do with taxes than it had to do with being a Muslim. But he's the, of course, former great singer from the 70s who converted to Islam and then said, made in public statements, things like supporting the fatwa on
Salman Rushdie.
Yeah, Salman Rushdie. Thank you very much. See, I remember nothing. I think nothing. Everyone else does my thinking for me. You just get a chance to hear them speaking it to me. It's Audio Open Lines. We're talking about these top religion stories of 2006, and as Matt points out, there's always the danger of putting together your list, I guess unless you wait until December 31st, there's always the danger of missing one, a big one that could break. Now, one thing you should think about before the end of the year, on a serious note, is about what relief agency will be getting from you those last-minute, year-end, tax-deductible gifts. Let me recommend one, LCMS World Relief. Why? It is Christ-centered and cross-focused relief efforts. It is worldwide. Everywhere you hear about one of these stories that may or may not make the top 10 news story lists, LCMS World Relief is right there on the front lines, helping, bringing both bread and the bread of life. To find out more about LCMS World Relief, you can find them at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Their logo is right there, issuesetc.org. Or you can find out more about Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief by calling them toll-free, 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. When we come back, there's a CNN poll on the presidential elections of 2008, even though they're a ways off. What they do in this poll, and I find this quite interesting because it's actually what's going to occur. They take specific candidates and put them head to head and see how the numbers add up. It's interesting when one guy's running against candidate A, he looks pretty good. Put him up against candidate B, he doesn't look so good. We'll hear that from CNN. We'll get your reaction to it. I do have a question. My question is, what's your choice for president in 2008? And if you'd like to chime in on the top 10 religion stories of 2006, be happy to take your phone calls and your email issues, etc@kfuo.org or 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We've also got a Fox News story on what the religious right is thinking now about some of the presidential candidates. Many conservative religious voters have already made up their minds, at the very least, who they're not voting for. And you might be surprised who they've decided they're not voting for. The big question mark there is why? Why make up your mind this early of who you're not going to vote for, especially since the field is so wide open? Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk about the birth of Christ. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us for our ongoing series on teaching a Sunday school lesson. We'll study the Christmas hymn, O Sing of Christ. Its author, Stephen Starkey, will be our guest. And Dr. John Nordling will join us. We're going to be talking about whether or not St. Paul supported or discouraged or outlawed or prohibited slavery. He talks about slaves and masters and slavery quite a bit. Was he in favor of it or was he against it? Dr. John Nordling will join us tomorrow on the program to talk about that. We'll take your email and your phone calls, more Audio Open Lines, and the last half hour after this.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here, talking with Dr. Dean Wenthe, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Wenthe, tell us about Concordia Theological Seminary as a worldwide outreach.
We have at latest count, about 23 different countries represented on our campus. We have a full-time staff member teaching in Lithuania, another in Siberia, and then our resident faculty teaches regularly in Kenya, in Haiti. We just recently received an invitation to teach in Madagascar. So Our commitment is to be a light on the hill and to broadcast the light of Christ into all the world.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit them on the web at www.ctsfw.edu.